Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we had some of your regulars. Martin Kellner had a week of sport on TV,
yeah,
didn't
he? On good form.
What else did we do for you?
Well, we did a Euro 96 special that you came up with for your friends at Sporting Memory. I really enjoyed it.
It was, yeah. We had some special guests, as you hear, reminiscing, and the listeners weighed in, which we really appreciate. So we'll transport you back to the summer of 96.
Yeah, hear a bit of Frank Skinner in that. And yes, we had our bits.
We had a bit of a chat about various things. And what else did we like?
I think that is that.
Is it really? Oh no, we took you back to 2016, the European Championships, and a bit of a race between myself and the producer and Andy. Andy doesn't come across that well.
No.
If you're French, you may not want to listen.
A bit like the Moose, really, but with a sort of posher voice.
Yeah. Okay, here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. And you know things are really bad when Vera Lynn re-releases We'll Meet Again.
It's back
We're
out,
doomed.
Is it? It's great to see Vera on Spotify, though. She's going to turn up in a few people's coronavirus playlists, I would imagine.
I think it's a good sentiment, to be honest. Yeah. But, you know, it does make you think how bad things are. She's 103 today.
I know, amazing, isn't
Tremendous
it? Tremendous
Happy
effort. Birthday, Dame Vera. She is,
yeah,
she's an absolute...
She's listening. She might be a big TalkSport fan.
Don't you remember that? Years and years ago, one of the drivers from EastEnders, we met, or he told us, we'd seen him somewhere, and he said... June Brown and Babs would have TalkSport on in the cab.
Oh yeah, no,
when they were
Jerry,
being taken to Elstree.
Yeah.
That's right. And we thought, God bless them. Yeah, so you'll be surprised who's listening. Maybe
that's absolutely
turn it up nice and loud for Dame Vera.
I would be surprised.
She's
Dame
in great
Vera,
nick. There was a picture of her with her daughter the other day, and her daughter's older than you.
She's
Andy,
playing five aside tonight.
No, she's not. She's not.
And neither should anybody else. It's another matter altogether.
Uncle Andy, yeah.
Now, I did the same thing today in the loo as I did yesterday. It must be an age thing.
Well, I mean, yeah. Where's this going?
No, it's fine.
I did the same thing in the loo that I did yesterday. It must be an age thing.
Well, you'll hear in a minute. I arrived.
Do we need a cleaning team going in there?
No, you don't need a cleaning
team.
Okay,
fair enough.
I arrived and I did the thing that you do when you've been out and about and you come inside. I washed my hands.
I'm with you.
The full 20 seconds. But of course, the sound of the running water made me want to go to the loo. So then I had to go to the loo.
You had to go back.
And then wash my hands
you
again.
You could be there for hours, couldn't you? The sound of the running water made me want to go to the loo.
Well, when you're a kid, you do that with kids, don't you? If you want them to go to the loo, you just turn the tap on. It seems to work.
They used to be that little evil trick, didn't they? People who'd had a few too many drinks and they were lying down, you'd put a bit of water on their arm or their hand and they would wet themselves.
Yes, it's
kind of stag do bants.
Bants.
Yeah.
Not really.
No.
Football ace Cristiano Ronaldo has basically teamed up with Yamamai Lingerie for Father's Day in Italy.
Nice.
And there's a photo of him in his pants. Can I just say that I'm not remotely interested in Cristiano Ronaldo's underwear.
Well,
not at this point or any other point.
I mean, I think there's plenty of people out there who are.
Well, I suppose there are, yeah.
I'm
not one of them, so I'm not suggesting he doesn't do it. Now, last night, I discovered that BT Sport, very well done to them, BT Sport 2,
yes,
for all your sports documentary needs.
Right, yeah.
I just went right through the next, they're all through the night, but you can just set them on your planner.
Brilliant.
All the 30 for 30s, I've seen a lot of them, but some of them I think I'll see again because they're really terrific, and I do recommend them.
I feel like I've seen them all because we speak to Martin Kellner every Friday.
I definitely haven't seen them all. There's a couple I found that I haven't. There's a couple. There's one about the origins of basketball I have seen, but it's
really
brilliant.
Yeah, I've seen
brilliant.
That one as
it's
well.
Brilliant.
It's really good.
So, yeah. And then I finished watching the Forest documentary.
Yeah, I Believe in Miracles. Johnny Owens one, yeah. Remember that?
And was it Colin Farmer, the left back? Was it? I didn't catch his name. It was Colin. I didn't catch his last name. I should have done, really. Ridiculous, but I didn't. But there's a wonderful moment in it when he talks about the fact that his wife, he'd never watched his goal. And in one of the, I think in the final, and his wife basically was recorded J.R. Ewing over it. So you see that J.R. Ewing being shot in Dallas, and then you see basically Colin's goal disappearing.
Oh,
it's
really?
A fantastic moment in the film. But John Robertson, what a player he was. Amazing, really. That they all said he had no pace, but he just breezed past people.
Yeah, exactly. A brilliant crosser of the ball, wasn't he?
And, you know, it's said often, but it is shocking when you look at the pitches, you know, and just think. It was an advantage, really, for the really skillful players, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I think it's also a documentary tonight. Martin Kellner will have more of this when we speak to him later. When English football ruled. So I think that might be quite fun as well. What else?
Was it Colin Barrett you were thinking of?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Mm-hmm. Our neighbours last night. Yeah, I think
dramatic.
It was very
dramatic. We spoke to Dr. Carl yesterday and very dramatic.
I think we know who goner number two is in neighbours this week.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
I sort of worked it out, and I like that character. Now, it's a shame.
What we're asking you for, just a reminder, we mentioned this yesterday, and we've put it on social media. We're going to wallow in a bit of nostalgia. I'm a proud patron of Sporting Memories Network, who work with people through sporting reminiscence, those that have reminiscence, shall I say, that have dementia and struggling with loneliness, etc.
That's so much for
people. Yeah, and for the elderly, they all come together in little sports groups and they wallow in sport. Sport is a great outlet. They talk about sports. They share memories of sport gone by, different sports, not just football. But we thought, with the group suspended currently at the moment, sadly, and understandably, that we would have a bit of a sporting memories session for half an hour from 2:30. So we're asking for your memories of Euro 96. I'm going to take you back to a very happy time, I think, generally for the nation. And so we'll take you back to Euro 96. We want your memories of that, whatever walk of life, whether you're working at it, watching it as a fan in any capacity, anywhere around the world, your tales. And we'll do it in the company of two of the main protagonists of that tournament. One, Frank Skinner. Who, of course, was part of Frank Dave and the Lightning season. Three Lions, the kind of anthem of the year, although not number one throughout the whole of the tournament.
I've forgotten
something we'll
that.
Come on to later. Motti will join us as well, key to those big commentary moments during the tournament. And, of course, you at talksport.com, text 81089, tweet to TSHNJ. Squeeze you in on the phone if you've got a good story, 08717223344. And we'll do that between 2:30 and 3 o'clock this afternoon, have our own little sporting memories session in their absence. So that's all to come.
Lovely. The Ronaldinho story is incredible, this story. We spoke to Tim Vickery about it. I'm sure you've all read it. He now faces another 6 months behind bars.
Yeah.
This is such a strange case, isn't it?
Because
he didn't even need to do this.
We were told the other day he didn't even need to have a kind of a hooky passport.
But there's one bit in it, in Nick Parker's report on The Sun today, where he's so South Latin American, this. His defence was dealt a blow when a businesswoman who fixed his book launch trip to the South American country failed to show up in court. Yeah, thanks. Really useful for him. It's bad, though, really, because he's a great player. And I don't know what I can't see what he... It seems more stupidity than anything else. But anyway, he looks like he's going to be stuck there for about 6 months.
Oh, it's mad. It is a mad tale.
Anything else? People are still getting engaged. Congratulations to... Well,
see,
you know,
why not? Yeah, yeah.
It may be
these are the kind of moments in life that are the catalyst for this kind of thing. It makes you realise, doesn't
it? That's very true.
Puts things in perspective.
That's a very good point, Paul.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Mr. D.P. Combs and Miss C.M.C. Word.
Not paper.
No.
That would not be Maureen good. Paper.
That would
be fantastic, wouldn't it?
It's not Maureen Paper. It's Miss C.M. No, C.M.C. Wordy.
Sounds C.M.C. Like Wordy. That's a bit wordy, isn't it?
Poet and DJ, M.C. Wordy.
That's I like, I'm a big fan of M.C. Wordy. He's very good. He's the poet DJ. He is very good, isn't he?
He is very good. But anyway, congratulations.
It's great how the players are dealing with self-isolation and filling in the hours when they're not training and going into the club. Nicolas Otamendi, he's basically making Airfix models.
Is he?
You didn't see the pictures today. He's done his own Bugatti. He's built his own Bugatti. That's nice, isn't it?
Well,
arts and crafts are back.
Oh, well, that's fantastic.
He got the old glue out. And I would imagine he's sticking it all over his fingers, all over the... He's probably ruined about a 10 grand designer. I hope he put some newspaper down.
Yeah, well, he might have done.
Did you ever get into that, Andy, the Airfix model? Did you ever do any of that sort of stuff? I imagine...
I didn't know that the
you're quite arty these days, but...
I'm arty, but I'm not crafty. And I'm not...
That sounds like a line from an Ian Dury song, doesn't it?
It is. The only time I can remember, I had one of those model kits.
Yeah.
I think I might have told this story before, but never mind. I'm sure that won't be the first time I do this. And I had a new blazer, school blazer.
Oh, yeah.
And for some reason, I decided to tackle this task wearing the new blazer.
Right.
And I put the...
What could possibly go wrong?
I put the pin in the glue. The glue went all over the blazer. And then, of course, I had to hide it from my mum. You know,
you hid the new blazer from your mum?
I kept wearing the old blazer. And she kept saying, why are you wearing the old blazer? I said, oh, it's a nice fit. I like it. Eventually, of course, I ran out of time.
Where did they find the new blazer? You hidden it, stuffed it in the back of a cupboard somewhere?
Hung it up, but you know, eventually I had to admit what had happened. But,
oh, right.
Yeah, it was fine.
Fessed up. And what
they
happened?
Didn't beat me.
Oh, okay. Well, it were different times. It's a good job you told us that, because that could have happened.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny, we were talking about that with my kids. Yeah. One of my boys popped over last night to give me a safety mask for the journey. It was very nice of him, actually.
Andy, your mask is quite... Have you got it?
Yeah.
Can we get a... I mean, Andy, it's not... They're not for him, the Wafer Finn surgical mask. Andy's mask is like an ice hockey keeper. Wear it for us. We'll have a couple of pictures, okay?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We do have racing at Dundalk this afternoon behind closed doors. And we brought you a live commentary yesterday, and Rupert Bell did a marvellous job. It's a 2 o'clock race, but with the news being so important, we won't bring it to you live. We'll bring it to you as live at about 3 or 4 minutes past 2. But that doesn't stop us all having a little bit of fun. Just
what's the name of it? It's got a good name, isn't it?
Oh, well, Rupert Bell joins us now to explain. Oh, hi, Rupert.
Good afternoon, chaps. Yes, another great named race. I think it's Mother's Day at the weekend, isn't it? So we've got Love Your Mum at the races, weekend median auction race.
Beautiful.
So, you know, not that your mums can go racing at the moment, but no. And Dundalk, it's a lovely sunny day there. There's a, you know, but the thing is, and as Ed was just saying, the show is on the road, and, you know, race titles do take on a new level of creativity at various stages. But I'm delighted that we actually do have some horse racing to enjoy throughout the afternoon and I have been looking at the coverage from Dundalk, and to see the, you know, to be serious, the measures that have taken place, like jockeys, if they're riding in the first race and don't have a ride to the end, well, then they're told to get out of the weighing room and then just sit in their own cars. Everyone had to travel on their own to the race course. So they've really tried to bring in sort of, you know, very strong guidelines to ensure that racing can go ahead, because not only in Ireland, 30,000 people are directly or indirectly employed in the sport. And so for Ireland, it's a huge deal, but clearly, and you can see the pictures, you know, everyone, even connections, no owners are allowed, but trainers in the main seem to be standing 2 meters away from their jockeys and everything. So there's very strict guidelines, which the Irish, that the people at Dundalk seem to be adhering to. So while it is, hopefully people can enjoy that the sport is happening and we have a good race.
Because, we do.
It's actually the big race of the day. Henry de Bromhead's got a runner in it. He was, of course, featuring prominently along with Rachel Blackmore last week at Cheltenham, but he does have the odd flat horses. The O'Brien brothers, Donica and Joseph, are training a couple of horses in this race as well. So in terms of quality, it's not the worst race of the day. So I'm delighted to be bringing you it as live. And hopefully the colours that I have in front of me bear resemblance to the ones out in the race.
Well, look, give us the runners and riders. Give us the runners, certainly, so people can just get on a name.
Yeah, the good thing was I did have a choice, but the producer did want me to cover a race from Jebel Ali, but I can't find that on the telly. So I would have been really scuppered to do that
one. Yeah, that might have been tricky.
Yeah, but there's only 6 runners, which is another reason why I've chosen this race. Okay. Air Club is number one. That's trained by Henry de Bromhead.
Yeah.
Flower Garland is trained by Donica O'Brien, could be one of the favourites. Point Reyes, trained by Gavin Cromwell, who's also had festival winners. Strip Light is number 4. Line Judge is number 5. And Linda's Grace, probably the outsider, is number 6. So those are our 6 runners for the feature race, the Love Your Mum at the Races Maiden something or other.
So, Air Club, Line Judge. From Andy, you've got to be on Line Judge. You love tennis.
No.
It's your favourite game,
no,
isn't
I'm
it?
Thinking of Chris Garland, the old Chelsea
Oh, the old Chelsea
striker.
And Bristol City player. Yeah, Chris Flower Garland,
Flower
you're
Garland,
on, are you?
Right.
Okay, well,
the one sport... Yes. The one sport Andy is not complaining that is shut down completely is tennis.
Well, yeah.
Is that right?
You'll go Line Judge, true. Rupert, because you do love tennis. I'll go Strip Light because it'll take me back to being a kid and rather naughtily doing Star Wars with them. Don't try that at home, kids. Really, don't try that at home. We were at a big end. You shouldn't have done it, really.
So
anyway, whatever you fancy. So anyway, which one you fancy, get on this. Air Club, Line Judge, Flower Garland, Point Race, Strip Light, Linda's Grace. She might be, Linda might be the missus. Grace might be the missus, but it is a long shot at 100-1.
Hope they're both not.
We'll bring you the race. Yeah, any bigger miss out there? 08717. We'll bring you the race.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
I think we can bring you...
Oh, okay.
I think we can bring you this slightly delayed 2 o'clock from Dundalk.
I feel I know what's going to happen, but...
Do you really?
I won't give it... I won't,
that's not,
spoiler alert.
No spoiler alert. Fantastic. We hope you all picked up your runner and rider. Air Club, Line Judge, Flower Garland, Point Reyes, Strip Light and Linda's Grace. Take your pick. Here we go. Take it away, Rupert.
They're all in then for the 2 o'clock. The feature race on the Dundalk card being run under brilliant sunny skies. And the early leader is Flower Garland, who's got Strip Light for company in this 1 mile contest on the all weather at the Irish track. And this duo leading by a length from in third spot, Air Club, trained by Henry de Bromhead. On the outside of that one is Line Judge, and the back markers are Linda's Grace and Point Reyes. That's the 1-2 to 3-6, and no more than 4 lengths covering this sextet of runners as they've gone through the first couple of furlongs. And still out in front is Strip Light, leading by a length as they come down the back straight here at Dundalk. And still leading then is Strip Light for company, taking a keen hold is the unraced filly Linda's Grace, just not quite settling at the moment on the outside as they make the turn into the straight. Still leading is Strip Light by a length. There's a line of four horses, including a Flower Garden poised to strike in behind, along with Air Club, another one just trying to move into a strong position on the outside of our leader as they now move into the straight. And the race is on earnest now, and still leading is Strip Light. From half a length back is Air Club, then Flower Garland coming
under
a bit of
pressure. Flower Garland, then your horse
also going very nicely at the moment.
Garland.
Point Reyes could pick up
it?
And challenge at
well,
the moment, but
know.
Now the race really going to work on the leader is the jockey on Strip Light. Strip Light just has the advantage, but coming on the outside and making a good run is Air Club for Henry de Bromhead and Wayne Lorden. And Air Club picks it up and has gone a length clear. And picking up now is Point Reyes trying to make a challenge. Drifting over to his left is the Air Club at the moment, but holding on at the moment and actually lengthening away really impressively. This looks like a good horse in the making for Henry de Bromhead. More known for his jumpers, but he can produce a good one on the flat. And he's definitely got one that could shape up into a decent horse as Air Club makes it 2 from 2.
Didn't slow up though at the end of the race. The horses are still running at the same pace they ran the race, which is a bit odd, isn't it?
I love Henry de Bromhead's jumpers. cashmere.
Very V-neck. He loves them, doesn't he? Yeah.
The sound effects are tremendous. It's like the Archers.
Yeah.
Oh, here comes old Bartleby. Incredible.
So there we are, live.
Well done, Rupert.
Not the actual, obviously not the actual effects from the race.
We really.
We did have to improvise. But thank you, Rupert.
What
top
a surprise.
Work. We'll bring you more live. When's the football back? We'll bring you more live racing over the coming years.
Just a bit of fun.
Yeah, for the coming years. So also coming up a little bit later on, Martin Kellner, the Week of Sport on TV.
Yes.
He says possibly the first radio broadcast ever from Wakefield, he's claiming.
Oh, right. Okay.
But we'll be chatting
He's got the proper equipment. I'm looking forward to hearing
him. He's not. Remember that really expensive headset he bought to do the show with? It didn't really work out.
Oh, yeah.
Money rubbish. Down the drain. Anyway, Martin will join us later on. Todd Macklin from the States. We haven't caught up with him this week. It's been a big story in American sport today, of course, involving Tom Brady. And Mike Ward, if you fancy watching a bit of telly this weekend, he'll tell you. Beyond the sport, what is worth watching? Plus, clips of the week we'll bring you as well. And our little sporting reminiscence in around 20 minutes. But before that, Andy.
Yes, I'm still searching for these little stories that they are disappearing, really. But this one's good. It's police raised £214 by auctioning off a pair of Christian Louboutin shoes they'd seized from crooks, not crocs.
Yeah.
Crooks.
Seized from crocs. They weren't crocs, were they?
They weren't crocs at all.
No.
They're not Garth crooks. They weren't crocs. They were Louboutins.
You're right.
Yes. And the Cheshire Police for all your high fashion shoe needs. I thought it was quite good. Cities could be self-sufficient in fruit and veg by growing them in gardens and on road verges. A group from Sheffield University found it. Will that be by next week?
Yeah.
Possibly.
Quite possibly,
who knows?
Yeah.
And this headline in the Times, it's a good piece, this, but it's probably not the timing of it. I think they could have saved it a bit. The headline's, "The Secret of Happiness?" Question mark. Being outdoors. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
It's not ideal,
well,
is it?
You can. At the moment, you can be outdoors. You know, it's not even outdoors as long as you know, give yourself a bit of distance. I mean, you know, dogs have still got to be walked.
Well, that's true.
That may become more complicated in time. But at the moment, you know, if you don't get too close to people and you give yourself a bit of space, it's a very uplifting thing. You need a bit of vitamin D if you can get it, of course.
No, absolutely true. Now, I was telling you just about, I teased it earlier in the show, but we were watching the neighbours, the wedding, because they're in two sections, the weddings and the deaths. The deaths are at 10 o'clock, weddings at 5:30, take your choice. And we were watching the wedding one, and there was a sort of romantic moment where Des gets down on one knee and he proposes to Jane, and she says yes.
Yeah.
And Sue turned around to me, she said to me, "Well, can you come and propose to me now on one knee?" I mean, what are you talking about? She said, no, you never proposed to me properly. When we were young. I said, no, I did. And so she said, no, you didn't, not on one knee. And actually, I do remember we were in my mate's car.
Yes.
And she was sitting, it was a two-seater, and she was sitting on my lap. In the days you could do that sort of daft thing that you'd never do now. But and basically, we pulled up somewhere, and I don't know why, but I felt that was the time to say to her, "Will you marry me?" And then I opened the door to get out, and I just fell out the car.
You fell out the car?
I fell out the car, honestly, into the street.
Wow,
brilliant. Brilliant, wasn't it? I should have known, really, at that point. Anyway.
So what are you going to do it properly?
I've
got to be honest, mine wasn't down on one knee. Mine was always a bit matter of fact.
Said a letter.
it was a telex. No, it wasn't, but, you know, it just sort of happened.
Yeah.
But it wasn't at the top of the Eiffel
These
Tower.
These days, don't they, people...
I didn't fall out of a car, though.
No. But I noticed, though, with my kids and other people, that proposals...
Firework displays.
They've become more, you know, people can tell us about some of their more elaborate ones, if they like. I'm sure they're better than falling out of a car and matter
of
fact.
I always say, look, we're still together, you're still together.
Yeah,
there may not have been firework displays and bells and whistles,
that's
but hey, look, what matters more?
Well, that's
the way I sell it.
Very, very good
That's the way
point.
I sell it anyway,
yeah,
than about
good
you.
Point.
Sounds like wrong.
I'll try that tonight.
Sounds like we're on slightly rocky ground.
Yeah.
That's right.
And a young deer was cut free from netting in Harts.
Better than an old deer.
That's great, isn't it? It's good news. I'm not sure it should be in the newspaper, but there you go. I'm very pleased for him.
Yeah, that's good. How is the young deer? You got any updates?
No updates. It obviously was free from netting, so it's fine now. I don't know how they get in the papers, but there you go. Well, I got quite emotional there.
Oh, you did? Yeah, did you really?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
I'm going to take you back to 2016 and the European championships in France. We were based in Nice, and we decided we wanted to go to Monaco. I'd never been.
We were invited by David Coulthard's
hotel very kindly invited us to come along and have a drink and have a chat. So we decided that we'd find different modes of transport to get there for reasons which will now become apparent.
So the race is on, Andy. You're getting a cab to the station, then you're going to get a train to Monaco. We're going to get a cab to the airport and then get in the helicopter and see who gets to the place first.
Yeah, it's all a bit ill-fated, though, because we tried to order two cabs and mine isn't here, so I've got to somehow scramble around for one. Got to catch the 6 minutes past six train. The producer isn't even downstairs. I don't know what's happened to him.
Here he is.
Here he comes.
So, okay, well, look, good luck with yours.
He's looking very Monaco.
He is looking very Monaco. Well, look, good luck with yours.
Thank you.
Well, I don't mean that because I want to win the race. But okay, we will catch up with you.
See you tomorrow.
Yeah. Good luck then. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, cheers.
No idea how Andy's doing at the moment. He was going to go around the corner and try and find a cab to get him to the train station so he could meet the 7 minutes past six to Monaco. And it's only about a 20-minute run. We've encountered a little bit of traffic here, and we've got to be there 20 minutes before the helicopter takes off. So we're sweating on it. Fingers crossed we should be okay.
Of course, I can't really find a taxi. I've just got in a lift that's gone up to the first floor, and now it's going back down to the second floor, or the ground floor. No, apparently it is up. It's more up. Really, honestly. And I went to a place that was signposted that said taxis. I said, is this a taxi? They went, no, it's not here. What the... Hell, it's a sign saying it is then. Okay, I've arrived at the station. Very nice man. He gave me a lift, a taxi driver, complimented me on my French. God knows why, because I kept speaking Spanish. But now all I've got to do is find the ticket machine and get a ticket. I've got about 13 minutes before I have to catch the train. I've got to find the platform and all that sort of thing that goes with train travel.
Well, we've arrived at the airport, but we're running a bit late, so we're hoping we're going to be okay to get the helicopter. And he's having problems at the train station, he tells. Can't get a ticket, none of them, a ticket machine works. And he's using some choice words about the very unhelpful staff there.
What a surprise. Everybody's so unbelievably unhelpful. The woman on the information couldn't have been ruder if she tried. None of the ticket machines work. Nobody knows what they're doing. And I'm definitely going to miss this train because these people are...
So we had a little incident there where they said they wouldn't potentially let us fly without passports, even though it's a 10-minute helicopter trip and we're in the same country. They finally let us go on driver's licences. Andy, I think you're still having problems at the train station and threatening to go home unless someone gives him help in the next 5 minutes. So we have found we have a little bit of time on our hands. So do you recognise this noise?
Oh, yes.
It's time for a quick one before we board the chopper. This is the life. Cut to Andy at the moment, effing and jeffing all the French rail staff, I guess.
Well, that was possibly the most frustrating 20 minutes of my life. These people could not be more unhelpful if they tried. Talk about, you know, don't want people to come to your country. Really, couldn't buy a ticket. I went to buy a ticket, and basically they said, oh no, you haven't queued up with the right ticket. So I had to go back and queue up for another ticket, and there was nothing, no sign of my ticket ever coming due. So then I went back to the machine, finally worked out how to get the machine to work. Then I went to the information. They basically sort of dismissed me in a sort of incredibly dismissive way. Honestly, what's the point of having a tourist board if you've got people working for you? Like, absolute, can't think of the word without swearing. Really are pitiful. I've travelled all over the world and I've never seen service like this. Blimey, it makes Network Southwest seem like the Orient Express.
We're still sitting here waiting for our bus to take us out to the helicopter. Andy is now on the train and hurtling along by the sea, having a great time. His mood has changed quite spectacularly in the last 10 minutes. What a surprise. And he looks very much on to win the race. But having said that, he's got about 11, 12 minutes in a cab. He's got to get a cab at the train station, then get there. We've only got 10 minutes in the helicopter once we do take off. Going to be touch and go, but I think he might just nick it.
Well, after all that, it turned out that I actually bought a ticket for tomorrow. It's great, isn't it? But I finally found a really nice guy, the guard of this train, and he told me what to do. It's only €5, and I've got on the train anyway, and just got to buy a ticket from him when he comes around, and it is just one stop, so hopefully I will be on my way pretty soon.
So we're in a bus, just gone through. We have to go through airport security, as you would normally, to get on the helicopters here, so we're on our way to the helicopter from the bus onto the runway. All very exciting, all feel very, we feel very important, even though we're not. Right pair of chances. Andy, by the way, is loving the train ride like an old man, looking out the window, looking at the sea. He's having a great time.
One of the advantages of going by train, especially this train, is it's one of the great train journeys of the world. It is absolutely beautiful. It travels right along the Mediterranean. Beautiful view of Nice. It's absolutely fabulous. So much better than going by helicopter. Just gone through Beaulieu-sur-Mer, where Sir Alex Ferguson stays at the Hotel Grand Reserve. It's one of the hotels of the world. I couldn't afford to stay there. It's an absolute fortune. He goes there every year for a month.
Right, just walking onto the helicopter now. He has won it easily. We've not even taken off. We missed the first chopper, that's what it was, but I don't mind losing the race. I'm just looking forward to the ride.
Fuel. I don't have any. It's the only thing I have. I don't have any.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, thanks very much. I think I've got a free, I've dropped on here because I've got a free ticket. Even though I bought a ticket for tomorrow, I only had a 50 euro note and it's 5 euros. So he couldn't be bothered and he felt sorry for me. So I've got a free ride.
So we're underway and we're in the air. I don't know if you can hear this because obviously we're in a helicopter, which doesn't help. But just crossing the sea now on our way to Monaco.
Okay, here I am, just arriving at Monaco. It's a little bit noisy, as you can hear, but after a lovely, but short, beautiful train ride alongside the coast. So in one way, it was worth it, but thank you. Now I've got to get to the hotel. Well, I've arrived at the station. I've come out the station. I finally found where the taxis are. But of course, there are no taxis here whatsoever. You have to ring for one, and then the guy at the other end, you ask him, is it a taxi please? He said, yes, I can't tell you when it's going to be. You can't tell you, it's going to be half an hour, 10 minutes. No, they can't tell you. Honestly, so I'm at the station. I don't know where the hotel is. I don't know where we're supposed to be meeting. I don't know what time the bloke's going to be coming. And honestly, it's like a third world country. It's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for them. Bloody blow me. Yeah. Taxi did finally arrive, which is fine, but why not just say it's arriving? Why say, oh, I can't tell you if it's going to be half an hour or 10 minutes and it's actually there in 2 minutes? Ridiculous, what an attitude. Just seen the sign for the hotel where we're meeting. Ah, I think I'm here. I see the sign for the heliports in the other direction. So, oh, and I am here. So basically, let's be honest, train beats helicopter. Okay, I've arrived and I'm at the hotel. I'm just going for the bar while I wait for the others to arrive. Hoping to bump into Dame Shirley Bassey, who lives here, for a quick, swift half with Dame Shirley.
So we've arrived in the bar at the Columbus Hotel, the meeting point, and oh no, he's already there sipping the rosé, the big glass of rosé. What can I say? Congratulations. We missed the first chopper out of Saigon, which meant we had to wait for the next one. So, but yours was a fairly fraught journey, apparently.
Well, just a touch as you're here. Yeah. It was, honestly, it's just so unhelpful. It's, you know, and I've travelled a lot all around the world, but really, anyways, you're here. I wasn't impressed.
Yeah, well, ours was pretty easy going, except we had the half-hour wait. Without a half-hour wait, I thought we might have done it, but we had a lovely helicopter fly over the sea, past one of the cruise ships, swoop down, and they put you in a little luxury minibus and bring you around here. There was two Italian businessmen. They look, you know, they look like they meant to be there, not like us, a pair of blaggers. So my story was going to be that our producer, David, was in a boy band and I was his manager. But we never got round to having that conversation, sadly.
So anyway, guys, meet Dame Shirley, Dame Shirley Bassey.
Dame Shirley Bassey. Dame Shirley, great to see you. This is David. He's in a boy band. I'm his manager. This is some mad bloke who swears at rail staff in France. Well, cheers. Well done.
Honestly, here we are.
It was like moose at times. It was really dreadful.
It was a real kind of window on the kind of peaks and troughs of your life. What you can be like from 1 minute to the next when you're on tour with him. He's just like, it's like a third world country. I've travelled all over the world. You're like Dame Shirley Bassey.
What a cringer.
Yeah. You've changed a lot since then, though, Andy, in the 4 years.
Oh, yeah,
you're
really
a very different man now.
Yes.
You're much more level-headed.
Really.
So there we are. We may dig out a few more memories along the way over the next few weeks.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
I think it's bad news for the English game.
we're not creative enough, and we're not positive enough.
It's coming home, it's coming home, it's coming, football's coming home.
We'll go on getting back, so I'm getting back, so I'm getting back.
Save almost. England back on the attack. Gascoigne here, flicking it over Hendry and volleying it majestically past Andy Gorham.
Sheringham! It gets better and better and better.
Well, look at this for character. Stuart Pearce trying to cleanse his soul, if you like, from 1990. And he has done. That means everything to Pearce.
Yes, Müller,
who scores. The Germans go through again.
Deutschland im Finale!
England again suffer the torment of losing in a penalty competition in a semi-final to the Germans.
Yes, David, we have to play that bit. Couldn't we let that last bit out?
It's the story, isn't it, Walton? And all. David Malley's been in touch and he sent us a picture. He said, this brings to mind that Andy Moller pose, that slightly arrogant, hands-on-hips pose after
absolutely.
He scored. Very punchable at that particular moment. Sorry, Andy, if you're listening. Joining us now to reflect on a memorable time for him. Andy, of course, was working alongside our next guest on Fantasy Football at the time. Frank Skinner joins us. Hi, Frank.
Hello.
So I still get the old goosebumps listening to that stuff.
You know what? I really did. And the funny thing is, I think I get more goosebumps from listening to the football than I do listening to the song.
I've got a question for you, Frank, and this is from Bob in Arbroath. He's seen you 55 times live. I'm not joking. Yes.
Wow.
He's a real fan. But he says, I've always wanted to ask Frank what it was like for him in the crowd at Wembley that day at Euro 96 when the whole stadium spontaneously sang Three Lions for the very first time. I was at home with tears in my eyes when everyone started singing. It was the happiest moment of my sporting life. So he said, I'm very interested to hear what it was like for Frank at that time.
Well, I mean, there were two things about it. One, that the seats that they'd given us for that game were sort of centre on the halfway line, just in front of the press box. So the whole stadium was laid out before us like it was in a theatre. I mean, it was all just there. And we were obviously excited that England had beat Scotland. And we were excited they were playing the song. But at that point, the crowd didn't really sing along. You know, football songs traditionally, I think, and this is still the case, they do well, but people don't sing them. What people sing and what people listen to are completely separate. And that was the first time in my memory. You know, I don't remember anyone at 66... at that final singing Lonnie Donegan's World Cup winner.
Definitely not.
And so it was that moment when it became a terrorist song. And I just watched it. And it was something that just happened there is that England fans had stopped taking Union Jacks and started taking a cross of St. George. I think they finally worked out they were accidentally supporting Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland. And all those crosses of St. George going, the song playing, everybody singing it, obviously something that, barring illness, I will never, ever forget.
Did you not think when you and Dave and Ian had finished the song, did anybody ever say in the studio, well, you know what, I think they might sing along to that? Did you think it was quite anthemic, but you're saying you didn't think that would necessarily be the case?
No, I remember being very blasé about the fact that it would be a number one because it was the England, you know, World Cup song.
Mm.
And I sort of sensed it was a good song there. You get a bit close to things. You know, I actually found out, I went to San Francisco a couple of weeks before the tournament with my girlfriend at the time. And when I got in, there were flowers from my manager.
Right.
And a card that said, straight in at number one, 56,000 units sold.
Oh, wow, way.
Not the most romantic announcement. But no, I just can't think of it ever happening before that they sing on the terraces a song that is also in the charts. You know?
You were number one, and then you dropped from number one and then came back, obviously, as England started to do well, to number one. Do you remember the song that usurped you for a while?
I think, was it The Fugees?
It was. Let's confirm that. Ooh, this was the song. Yeah, the old Roberta Flack song.
The crowd wouldn't be singing along with this. Rubbish.
Well, if England had bombed, this would have been number one for an extra few weeks.
When Gareth Southgate scored, I think Killing Me Softly with his song probably would have been a more apposite sing-along.
Yeah, absolutely.
What if they'd sung that? Would have been fantastic.
My main memory is, well, two things really, is Gazza's miss, you know, the chance, not the miss.
Ball
the
coming
chance,
across
the
in the Germany game, down and
then
across.
Having, because I think it was on the Wednesday, wasn't it? We had to do the show on the Thursday. We had this again in the 98 World Cup, but this thing of having to pick yourself up to do, harder for you and Dave, of course, but to do a comedy show, you know, at that point was pretty tricky.
Yeah, and I think I've got a bit more hardened to it as I've got older, losing football matches, but I remember being, so horrified by that. I remember I was at the stadium, obviously, and Southgate had missed. And we walked down the stairs and a guy came up to me and said, where do you get the clips from on Fantasy Football? Oh, my God.
Great question.
It was one of the most profoundly tragic things because everything was so perfect. The weather was great. The song was just the right song for the thing. England were playing brilliantly. It was all set. You know, I have to admit, I have lain awake still and still do and think, what would it have been like if we'd have won that and gone on and won the final? You know, how would it have been?
Yeah.
Well, great, I think. Yeah.
Well, there wouldn't have been that massive riot in Trafalgar Square, I suppose.
No, that probably would have helped. Yeah. And do you ever watch any of it back? Do you ever kind of reminisce to that extent? Do you ever go back and watch some of the games or the highlights?
I watched quite recently because, you know, you get a sort of a... Do you ever get this? You get an ache for a goal that you haven't seen for a long time. Funnily, it wasn't an England goal. It was Karol Poborski's goal for Czech Republic against Portugal.
Yeah, I was
it
at
was
that
the
game.
Most incredible lob, the sort of lob that you dream about doing when you think of lobbing a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
It went high, 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 and then dropped in perfectly. And I still, weirdly, Poborski is a figure I very much associate with that tournament. It used to be a thing before we had so many overseas players in the Premier League that every international tournament would be a time to discover all these talents that you hadn't heard anything about. But football's more of a global village now, so we tend to know who's coming, you know.
Well, Frank, lovely to talk to you. Yeah. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. We will catch up with you soon.
It's my pleasure. I'll talk to you about it on the 112th anniversary.
Cheers, Frank. Thanks very
much. Guys.
There we are. Frank Skinner there, remembering Euro 96. I was at that game. Karol Poborski. I went to that match. It was at Villa Park.
Wow.
I took in a few games, apart from the England games, although I'll come on to that in a minute. I saw the first game, the Liverpool Czech Republic game at Anfield, which was a great night as well. That first night at Anfield.
Liverpool
Czech at Anfield. Italy versus the Czech Republic, sorry, and they beat Italy. Yeah. So it was two things. It was the atmosphere around Anfield in the pubs. It was really special. It was a lovely vibe. You thought, this is going to be a great...
Oh, the whole thing, the Holland game. I didn't go to any of the games because I had to log them and watch them for the show. But
And went to that one at Villa Park. The only England game I missed was the Holland game. I was in Manchester.
Motti will talk about it. It's one of England's best performances of all time.
But the morning of the Scotland game, I had to get back. I was in Manchester doing some work in Manchester for Goal magazine, where I was editing, and I had to get back to London to make sure I made kickoff, get home first, get changed, and get up to the stadium. So I left Manchester about 9 o'clock.
And I was staying sort of near Deansgate Hotel, just around the corner from the Armdale Centre in Manchester. Mm. So I left at about 9, got on the road, got out of Manchester, started driving. Suddenly reports on the radio start coming in that the centre of Manchester, just basically where I'd been, had been evacuated.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And then an hour or so later, the bomb went off. A huge bomb at the Arndale Centre. And quite a lot of the windows in the hotel I'd been in had been sort of blown out. I mean, you kind of look into these things after. I was on the other side of the hotel and I probably would have been, you know, knocked out of bed, but it wouldn't have had the windows.
It would have been a shock.
A real shock to the system. Sure. That's one of the abiding memories. You've been sending your stuff in, guys. I was so gutted with England losing in the semi, says Seats, that I had unused finals tickets that I refused to sell to any German or Czech fans. Very bitter. I did go to the final and got behind the Czechs because I'd seen them a couple of times along the way. Watched the England-Spain shootout on my own in a bar in Portugal, says Jamie. When England won, the waiters all bought me a beer. Can you imagine? Didn't get to any of them. You would have watched them in the fantasy football offices, probably with Frank and Dave, which would have been a lot of fun, wouldn't it?
Or I watched them at home, I think. Right. Yeah. I mean, I watched it probably, certainly as the World Cup, so I watched all these games. It's great that I can't remember any of them.
It's a fantastic memory. Our old mate, we've got a few more of these coming in. What else we got here? This comes from Jimmy Bob. He said, being in Villa Park to watch an almost completely symmetrical half-orange, half-blue crowd as Scotland played out a 0-0 with the Dutch. And then afterward, going for a drink with the Dutch fans, only to find they'd been camping in Aston Park, which, if you just asked Frank, he would have said would have made them brave men. thank you very much for that.
Steve remembers going to watch the Czechs' first training session on Preston Grasshoppers rugby pitch.
Yeah.
Must have been a bit great.
Darren, let's hear from Darren in Preston. Before we're going to hear from Motti shortly, but Darren in Preston has been in touch. Hiya, Darren. Hey, Darren, is he there? Listen, we can't get him. He was there just now.
He's gone.
We'll try and get him back. All right, we'll get him. Is he there? He is there. Hello, Darren.
Hello.
Good man. Sorry, yeah, we didn't have you through. So, you've got a memory of Euro 96. Take it away.
Yeah, we were training at university in Leeds because that's where the French team were based. Hmm. And from out of nowhere, we got told we had to clear the changing rooms because the French national squad were coming in to use the facilities.
Right.
As you are, you laugh and joke, yeah, sure, whatever, you know what I mean. And we finished training and come out of the changing rooms and all of a sudden there they are in a line. Djokaev, Desailly, Bernard Lama, Deschamps, the entire squad. And then we had the pleasure of sitting on the side of our own football pitches watching them train.
Were they better than you? Go on, be honest.
miles.
That was a rhetorical question.
It was unbelievable. Really, really was. You know, so, so fortunate. But funnily enough, what you've talked about the semi-final and afterwards and coming to terms with it, in our student house, I take Norma Sabutio stuff to university. And as a sort of a ceremonial grieving, we lined the entire German squad up on a baking tray and melted them in the oven and sat around the oven and watched them.
Oh, dear me.
Well done.
Darren, I've still got the melted squad at home.
You've still kept it as a bit of memorabilia. Good man, Darren. Thanks very much. Darren in Preston there with his memories. Keep them coming. TalkSport.com, text 81089. You can tweet to TSH and J. That's TSH
in Liverpool, he says.
ANDJ.
My daughter being born days before it started meant I could take 2 weeks' holiday as paternity leave, or as there was no paternity leave, rather, in those days. Meant I could watch the football. I mean, help my wife, he said.
I was working in Bristol, says our old mate journalist Stuart Weir. On the Monday after Scotland v England, I was getting some real stick until I produced my betting slip. Shearer for first goal, England win 2-0.
Oh.
Being a grand to the good at eased my pain. So, yeah, good man, Stuart.
I'd forgotten
Thank
about Yuri Geller.
That.
We should have talked to Frank about that. The
ball
that.
Moved. Yeah, he did say he was going to move the ball. My old former colleague, Andy Strickland, fond memories indeed. Think I covered all nine. I covered nine matches, including all England games, for 90 Minutes magazine. Sat next to Hugh McElvanney for the England-Holland game.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We're taking you back to Euro 96 this afternoon. We said, sadly, all the Sporting Memories Network clubs are suspended at the moment, so we thought we'd have a little bit of a sporting memories session for half an hour, taking you back to Euro 96. You're telling us your stories. Rhodesy says, I was bottle feeding our first child when Gazza scored that goal. As I jumped up, the milk bottle flew through the air and George was being dangled in a headlock. Brackets, he survived. The look I got off the Lady Mayoress was troubling, he says. I was in the RAF in 84, says, oh, that's, oh, this is a different story. It's on a different subject. We'll come back to that one. Where's that one gone? Went on holiday the day after the Dutch game to a tiny little Greek island called Simi. My birthday was the day of the England semi-final. My mum called and said I'd won tickets to the final if England won. That's quite bittersweet, wow. Really. That's from David Sink. Thanks for that one, Dave.
And our own Max Rushton was at the game, wasn't he? Which one was it?
He was behind David Seaman's goal. He said, I had a lucky elastic band. I pulled it as McAllister ran up. The rest is history. We can thank Max then for that save, not David Seaman. England 4, Holland 1, went to Parker's Piece in Cambridge afterwards and played 50 a side until it was pitch black glorious, he says. Thanks, Max. That was the kind of thing you did, wasn't it, during those tournaments? It was amazing.
It was a great time. You know, summer and June, lovely weather.
Yeah. I remember being at the England-Scotland game and being next to some Scotland fans who were good lads. We had a bit of gallows humour towards the end. They were singing, we're going to win 3-2. But I've mentioned before, just at the end of the game, I was in this kind of corner where there was Scotland fans separating England fans, and it got a little bit leery. You know, England fans were kind of crowing, the Scotland fans were getting upset. And whoever's in charge of the decks at Wembley that day put on That's Amore by Dean Martin.
Oh, okay.
And it was a magic moment because it went, all the malevolence went out of the air and people started singing and it kind of all seemed to go away. It was fantastic.
I bet Motti was singing at the top of his voice.
Yeah, I bet he was. John Motson, of course, you heard him at the top of Three Lions. He was so key. Brilliant commentary throughout that tournament. He joins us now. Good afternoon, Motti.
Good afternoon, boys. How are you doing?
Good,
not
thank
too
you.
Bad. How
I mean,
are you?
You've commentated on so many sort of big games, key moments for England and cup finals over the years. Around some of those matches, as England kind of went through the tournament, did nerves ever get to you, or did you just concentrate on the job?
Well, I think I was just so pleased that England were doing well because, of course, I'd commentated on so many disappointing moments for England in major championships. And I think it was excitement, really. I mean, I heard Frank Skinner there saying the whole stadium was in such a ferment when he was singing. And quite honestly, the whole thing just comes back to me so easily. I mean, even when Frank said Pavorsky scored that goal, I think Peter Schmeichel was in goal, wasn't he, for Denmark that night? And I was there as well. But, yeah, I mean, I think we all got wrapped up in it in our own way, Paul. You know, I mean, as a commentator, you know, you were concentrating on what you were doing. But golly, I remember jumping out of my seat when Gazza scored that goal against Scotland.
Amazing, yeah.
What other games did you do in that tournament? Sort of memorable
beyond England, yeah, John. Beyond England, were there any others that stick out?
I remember a prolonged penalty shootout at Old Trafford in which there were so many penalties. I think France were playing, maybe it was the Czechs who were up in the north as well. But at one point, one of the players tried to take a penalty twice because they'd lost track of the rotation. I remember that bit was pretty tricky to deal with. But no, I mean, I think looking back on it now, the England-Scotland game has to stand out, obviously. Really, every match got a hold of you, didn't it? Excuse me. Because of the tension that was there and the excitement.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, even the first game, John, wasn't it? I mean, it was funny because England did get a head of steam up. We forget. I went to that first match, the opening ceremony and the George and the Dragon nonsense on the pitch. And then we had the first game against the Swiss and we weren't great, were we? It was really disappointing after all the kind of build-up.
Yes, it was a very nervous 1-1 draw, wasn't it? And until that game, Shearer had gone about six or seven matches without scoring. Everybody was very wound up. And, of course, we conceded a penalty in that game as well. And then penalties became without going too far in the story, which everybody knows how it ended, but penalties were very persistently interrupting things, as it were, because I remember that penalty, in the Swiss game, and then obviously the shootout against Spain when David Seaman didn't make his name, but enhanced his reputation, and It really was. It kept you absolutely grit, didn't it? And not just there, but everybody watching on television. I mean, everybody, as you've just gone through in the last half hour, so many people have got their own personal story of whereabouts they were, either in the stadium or sitting at home. And they've all got a particular memory of an incident or something like that. And we hadn't had a tournament since 1966, had we? So it was unique in its own way. And we hadn't really had one since. So it will stand alone, I think, Euro 96, in the memories of so many millions of people.
Absolutely. Hopefully Euro 2021 will be,
a great time. I mean, I think there's going to be, when we do get back playing again, there's going to be such a sort of sense of relief, isn't there? I think people are going to be, hopefully, a kind of great pan-European party now. In some ways, in light of what's happened, I kind of feel slightly differently about the fact that the love's going to be shared this time rather than it being in one place, because it kind of feels a bit more fitting all of a sudden.
Yeah. Hopefully, if everything's all right. It's interesting, Motti, you should say there about the penalty shootout. The one you witnessed was 6-5 to Czech Republic.
Yeah.
But there were two in the quarterfinals, penalty shootouts, both semi-finals.
Yeah.
So it shows you really that the tournament was tight.
Very much so, and it all added to the tension, clearly. But, I mean, the tournament as a whole is a great success. I mean, the fact that, as you say, unlike what we shall see next year, hopefully, it was all in England, and we were moving around from place to place, and you could get into the training camps quite easily then. You wouldn't get into them quite as easily now. But I remember the Russians opening game was at Anfield, I believe. I covered that one. And, seeing all this happening on our own club grounds had its own little bit of magic, by the way, quite apart from Wembley.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, look, John, we will catch up with you soon. We appreciate you joining us. We'll speak to you soon, John. Thanks.
No, I think you boys are doing great, keeping the show going.
Thanks very much, John. All the best. That's John Motson there, a regular guest with us in the studio usually. But thanks for all your tales. As John said, you've been telling us all your stories. Joe Tung's been in touch, agent, a friend of ours, friend of the show. She says, making me so nostalgic. Euro 96 was my first job in football, age 17. Now, you can try and leave my A-level exams early to run to Wembley to work on the evening games. Umbro gave me the best kits to wear in the media centre. I thought it was the bee's knees. Wow, Joe's got all the pictures of all the programmes from all of the games.
Yeah, I went lots to of nice memories from all of you.
I was in the RAF in 84, so I keep doing that one, and it's not related to Euro 96, but I'll come on to it later. But it's teasing that one, isn't it? My memory of Euro 96, I was 27 and working in London in HR for a big IT consultancy with no chance of tickets. The Friday before the Spain quarterfinal, one of the partners I worked for called at about 5:30. He said, what are you up to this weekend? I just said, watching the football. He said, would you like to go? Would you like to go?
No.
He got hold of two tickets via Peter Schmeichel, whose children were at the same school as his boss's kids. Made my day, to say the least, rang my dad and made his day too. Brilliant tickets, lower tier, right in front of where we won on penalties. Brilliant atmosphere, no one left at the end. And we all stayed in the ground singing for ages after the final whistle, says Mandy from Chelmsford. And I had a hernia operation, says one of the listeners, just before the tournament started and had to recover. Watching it, the best thing was the supermarkets did packs of beers from all the countries competing. So look, thanks for all of them this afternoon. We squeezed in as many as we possibly could.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Yes, it's time then for Martin Kellner's Week of Sport on TV. And after another week of wall-to-wall live sport, there'll be really no trouble for Martin Kellner to take us...
He never really does sport
methodically
anyway.
...through every major sporting event that has unfolded in the last 6 days. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon, boys.
Listen to you in broadcast quality.
Very loud.
From
Wakefield. If you knew the trouble I've been to get... It's unbelievable. I was trying to find this... I must thank Kevin Leach. Mm. Kevin Leach, good old mate of mine. I've known him since he was just a sort of little lad, not but a kid, at BBC Radio Leeds. Now he runs this whole IPTDL thing, which you'll be familiar with.
Ah.
Maybe one or two of the listeners won't know what I'm talking about. But he runs all that. And he sort of talked me through the whole thing. You know, very much, right, go to settings. Right, look, check system preferences. Scroll down. Yeah. It was all that business. But bless him, he's done it. And I seem to have got on air, which is great news.
I know.
Andy and I have just been through a very similar thing. We should point out to listeners that much like a number of the we have a fail-safe. Should we have to go into self-isolation, one of our family members gets it. We're able to broadcast from home, but we've had a very similar chat down. We've been talked down, a bit like landing a jumbo.
You don't realise the techno guy said to us, Declan, he said to me, he said, oh, I was on the phone to you 40 minutes last night. Whereas Paul, he just seems to say, I'm in, it's fine, it's all done.
Well, I just plugged mine straight into a router and it just started. My equipment's different to Andy's, but
I've got the same
leave it, Martin.
You.
That's a smutty gag you've got there, but anyway. So, carry on.
Yeah, so there was just one little bit of cable which Amazon was supposed to be sending me and said they would have it ready for 9 o'clock tonight. And I had a long conversation with them saying, that's no good. I was on Amazon Prime. I've been on Amazon Prime for a while, but suddenly turned into Amazon Subprime when I needed to get this bit of cable. So I went into various branches of PC World and they looked on their system and they said, the newest one to you, and I was in the centre of Leeds at this time, the newest one to you is Bridlington. And I thought, well, I like a day at the seaside as much as the next man. But really, Bridlington, Bridlington's full of old people like me. I really don't want to be going to Bridlington. I mean, people are so old in Bridlington, shop windows are bifocal.
Nice.
Thank you. Brilliant. I was about to say I'm here all week, but I don't know whether I trust the equipment to say I'm here all week, but there you go.
So anyway, there has been plenty to watch, hasn't there?
There has been loads to watch. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, Sky are putting all sorts of features. You know, if you go into catch up, a lot of the features that have been running, which I have talked about, actually, they're running again, you know, short programmes. There's a Jimmy Greaves documentary, which I have talked about in the past. Mm. But the best thing I watched this week was the Steve McQueen, The Man and Le Mans.
I've got that recorded.
Brilliant.
Andy has seen it. I haven't, but it looks very, very good.
Fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. I mean, Steve McQueen was one of these people who was such a star. Mm. I mean, we know him obviously on The Great Escape, Thomas Crown Affair, Bullet and all that. But, you know, he lived as a star and he'd been brought up in very sort of reduced circumstances. He was brought up on a farm in the state of Missouri and he said he couldn't. The great thing about it is they've got loads of interviews that have never been heard before. And Steve McQueen, he's not quite Marlon Brando and he's not quite James Dean, but he's almost, you know what I mean? You know, especially if you grew up with those great films in the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, he is, people talk about, oh, so-and-so's an iconic figure. You know, they might say Andy Jacobs, he's an iconic figure.
Well, they do, of course. Obviously, they do.
And, you know, various people you have on, they say, oh, an iconic figure. Hmm. But he really was. He really was. And obviously part of that was because he died quite young. He died in 1980. And it starts with a little bit of audio of him when he was being treated for cancer in Mexico. Hmm. He was born 1930, died 1980. So he sort of conformed to that live fast, die young, die pretty, which he certainly did. I mean, really, I'm not going to make any jokes about, you know, 40 years of unbridled heterosexuality or whatever. But even so, you look at Steve McQueen and he was a fantastic figure. And of course, he was iconic.
Yes.
However, he was a good-looking man.
Was a good-looking man. Well said, Andy. Good. Very, very good-looking.
You are an
But even
that.
More than that, you know, more than that. Charismatic. But also a perfectionist, he said himself is a perfectionist. Various other people said he was a perfectionist. And there is that thin dividing line between a perfectionist and a complete pain in the backside. And you did feel, you know, that at times he may have strayed into that area. But it was a great interview with some of the drivers who were in the movie, because I don't know whether you're familiar with the story, but basically they re-ran the whole race after it had already been run, but with the same drivers. So, you know, you watch a football movie and you see cutaways, and the cutaway, you know, of the real action, and then you go into the, you know, the actors. I'm talking about old movies and the recreated stuff, and it doesn't look right. So they used exactly the same drivers in exactly the same race. And there were some great interviews with these guys. It was 1970. I think 1970 the race, 1971 the movie.
Yeah.
And it's great interviews. And they said, brilliant, you know, we got $200 a day. And they gave us all, I'm trying to remember the car now, they gave us all Porsche 911s to trundle around in. I'm not sure you trundle in a Porsche. It's probably the last thing you do in a Porsche is trundle.
Yeah. He made two films that year. He made the film I went and saw. My neighbours were massively into sort of bikes, motorbikes, and he made a film called On Any Sunday, which I think was shortlisted for an Oscar. But that was all about. It was a complete celebration of motocross and motorbike riding. I remember going to see that at the time when I was a kid.
Total speed freak. I mean, he really was, and you know, he loved that almost as much as he loved the movies. But of course, also a producer, because he produced the Le Mans film. And I'll give you the quote that he said. He says, "I'm not a compromiser." He said.
Right.
He also said, "I like women, but I'm a little afraid of them."
Right, okay.
I think we all are.
Yeah, really. Yeah, that's the nation there. Yeah. So it's available. It was on BBC Four the other night.
iPlayer.
And it's still there on the iPlayer
now, and it's the best thing that I've seen for ages. I thought it was great. Certainly, if you're a movie star and you're familiar with Steve McQueen, it's absolutely brilliant. They've also got on iPlayer the 1976 James Hunt, Niki Lauda rivalry. There's a program about that.
That's good too.
Featuring mainly the 1976 Grand Prix and everything, and certainly people will be. It was only this week, wasn't it? It was announced that the three Grand Prix that were still remaining were going to be called off,
and Le Mans was called off this or postponed this week as well.
I mean, if you are a motorsport fan, you can't do better than to go on to be. I mean, obviously, only when Hawksby and Jacobs is finished,
of course.
But you can't, of course. But you can't do better to watch those two things. And there was another one.
And not
as well,
overnight on talk radio.
Yeah, you don't want to be listening between the hours of 1 and 5 a.m. Saturday and Sunday.
Well, just hoping this thing holds up. I daren't touch anything.
It's sounding good, this... Martin. It's sounding
good.
It's
better than your terrible like Skype mic.
Yeah, the Skype did. Well, no, I'm using the same mic. I don't know why. Obviously, I didn't have the correct settings
on
it.
Yeah.
I haven't plugged it in properly. No, the correct settings. Yeah, go to settings, and then what you want to do is go to...
Try plugging it in.
Reboot it.
Turn it on and off again.
Martin, you've often mentioned over the years the 30 for 30 series. I know... It's one of your favourites. And I see BT, I went through last night. They're showing virtually all of them again. If you just BT2 and you just go through and just pre-record them and you watch, you won't be able to watch them all at once. They're quite long, but they're great, aren't they?
Oh, they're brilliant. And I have to say, Spurs versus West Ham won't be on the TV tonight.
It won't be.
I keep going on Live Sport to see what would have been on.
Yeah.
And you could have been watching Spurs versus West Ham.
I try not to torture myself with that.
Let's not do that. If you do get a chance to watch one called a 30 for 30 called Once Brothers, that is highly recommended.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, that is really good.
From the world of basketball. It's a fantastic film, but we won't ruin it for you, but it's a very powerful story. So check that one out. But there's not really a duff one, Martin, is there in the series? They're all really good quality.
No, they're all good. Something else that Sky are repeating ad nauseum is Inside Super League, which bizarrely is a build-up to the Castle for St. Helens match last weekend.
Right.
So, spoiler alert, it was a fairly, you know...
Terrible game.
One-sided, ultimately.
It wasn't a great game. It was one-sided.
Is it sort of behind the scenes?
It is. They've got a player cam.
That's good.
And it's quite good.
Sounds good.
There's a guy called Tyler Heppy who was playing in France. And the question they ask him, it's a player's interviewing other players, really. And the question they ask him, how does Castleford compare with Toulouse? Now, I've been to Toulouse.
It's a nice place.
And I'm one of the few people who've been to Toulouse and Castleford.
Whose sausages are better?
Yeah, well, the Castleford Market's quite good.
Yeah.
There are some, you know, little butcher stands there.
Nice.
But I would say, having been to both Castleford and Toulouse, if I were asked the question, how does Castleford compare with Toulouse, I'd probably say unfavourably would be my answer.
That's the mayor of Castleford be straight on the phone, wouldn't he?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. So listening back then to... I mean, in those moments of tension, you weren't particularly keen on France, were you?
No.
A third world country. But when you're sitting there with your glass of wine in David Coulthard's hotel, you felt slightly different about
absolutely.
It.
Oh, yeah, and the great train journey. But look, you
know,
it was a bit of fun.
Anyway, we'll reconvene on Monday from 1. Thanks for listening this week. We'll endeavour to keep the shows coming out despite the lack of sport. And we hope you have a good, safe, pleasant weekend. And we will catch up with you on Monday from 1.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hi.
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.